Hey there, and welcome back to Take One, the podcast that brings you just one marvelous page of Talmud each day. And on today's page, Bava Metzias 7, we hear a story that's kind of quirky. Have a listen. The Gemara asks, but in what way is this case different from the ruling of Rav Chisda? As Rav Chisda said, in a case where a husband placed a bill of divorce in his wife's hand, and a string attached to the bill of divorce remained in his hand, if the husband can still pull the bill of divorce out of her hand and bring it to him, she is not divorced. And if he is not able to do so, example, if the string is too flimsy, then she is divorced. This indicates that as long as part of the bill of divorce remains in his hand, it is not considered as though he gave it to her. This reminds me of some of those, you know, kind of like prank shops that were very popular in my neighborhood as a kid, where you could buy things like, oh yeah, I'll give you gum that's really pepper flavored, or I'll give you, like, you'll shake my hand and there'll be a buzzer. Oh hey, I'll have some string attached to something and I'll pull it away. It sounded kind of silly, and I needed a lot of help to figure out what was going on. And so I called on this show's adjudicator of all things in the realm of Talmud, history, politics, and other human weaknesses and foibles, the very distinguished President of Sherav, Dr. Chevy Troy. Welcome back to the show.
Leal, thanks for having me. I'm always thrilled to be here to talk about my two favorite subjects, the presidents and Gemara.
Now, I kind of had a sense, you alerted me right away when you read this, this belongs in the realm of presidential politics. I am not surprised to hear that a page featuring shenanigans such as these belongs in your imagination in Washington, D.C., but explain to me why.
Well, in this particular case, when I read about Rav Chisda's example of the divorce document on a string, it raises the question of possession and when you take possession of something. And I immediately thought of, when do you take possession of that most prestigious of things, a White House job? We all know the famous case of Anthony Scaramucci, who was White House communications director for only 11 days. He probably got more fame out of those 11 days than any other subsequent or previous communications director. But nevertheless, that was a very brief tenure. And it made me think of other brief tenures in the White House. One of my favorites is of a guy named T.J. Ducklow, who worked in the Biden administration for less than a month when he ran afoul of a Biden rule about berating reporters. Not a good idea to berate reporters, because this political reporter had asked him about an inappropriate relationship Ducklow was having with another reporter. So he only had the job for a month. But when it comes to shortest White House tenure, Scaramucci is not the record setter. Huh. There was a guy in February of 1987, his name was John Kohler. During the Iran-Contra scandal, he became White House Director of Communications under Ronald Reagan, the same job that Scaramucci would later have for only 11 days. And it came out that Kohler, in his native Germany, had participated in Nazi youth rallies. When this was discovered by the Washington Post, of course, the job offer was rescinded, and he only lasted 6 days, about half of Scaramucci. Amazing.
6 days, and then figured out that there was actually a string attached to this. But it actually also kind of, I think, brings to mind a larger issue, because there's this phrase that you hear every time that, you know, you watch one of those Washington president dramas, and it's something along the lines of, oh, we all serve at the pleasure of the president, right? The president could say, hey, man, you know this, you've been an administration official. The president could say, I'm sorry, I no longer feel that you represent my interests. It's a notoriously kind of fickle town slash profession to be in. It feels like every job that you take, even if it's not, you know, just for 11 days or 6 days or a month, every job that you take kind of has a string attached to it that someone could pull at any time, no?
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that. And the Ducklow example about the guy who served for a month is instructive here, because he had that job, lost it, and now he's back with the Biden campaign as a deputy communications director, which means that Biden, I think, is too unlikely to fire people, as we've seen from the example of him being unwilling even to fire White House interns who object to his policy on Israel. But with the Kohler example, perhaps that was a bridge too far, because I think the lesson here is that almost anything can be forgiven in politics except having been a Nazi.
Let's hope that that never changes.
Amen to that.
President Sherav, Dr. Tevi Troy, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thanks as always for having me.
This This has been Take One. If you enjoy the show, and I hope that you do, then you are really going to love the new book just published by me. It's called How the Talmud Can Change Your Life, Surprisingly Modern Advice from a Very Old Book. You can order it now at your local bookstore or directly from the publisher through the link in this here podcast description or through that big online store whose logo is, you know, a smile. As always, please go rate and review Take One on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You could get your Take One t-shirts and mugs and other swag at tabletstudios.com, and you could subscribe to our weekly newsletter at tabletm.ag/Take One Newsletter. Take One is a Tablet Studios production. The show is hosted by me, Leah Leibowitz, and is produced and edited by Josh Cross, Robert Scaramucci, Quinn Waller, and Ellie Blyer. Our team also includes Stephanie Butting, Courtney Hazlett, and Tanya Singer. For more information, go to tabletmag.com/takeone or email us at takeone@tabletmag.com. I hope we have made your day a little more Talmudic.